All right. Well, you know, I was thinking about how thankful I was this morning for all that God's doing, and thankful for, you know, our lives. I'm thankful for my wonderful wife. Thankful for my family. Thankful for you guys and your hunger and your desire to know and fellowship together around the truth. And I was thinking, there's really no greater, I don't think, at least for me, any place to go when I'm very thankful as in my heart, you know, any more so than going to the book of Psalms. Psalms is just one of those places where I go when I'm thankful, because many of the Psalms are just that. They're songs of praise, of thanks to God for all that He's doing. And I was reading through some, so I wanted to just read through some of this with you. And I think we'll go to Psalm 31. You can go anywhere in the book of Psalms and find great, great things. But we'll read this. Well, no, let's go to Psalm 30 first. Because the first part of Psalm 30 is really cool too. Yeah, Psalm 30, verse 1. We'll just read some of these things. And I'll point out a couple things that that came to mind as I was reading through this. One of which I'll tell you right now. One of the things about the book of Psalms is you see David, you see Asaph, you see the psalmist saying to God, making their requests, and you never, ever see in there them having an attitude of doubt toward God. It's always, anytime they have had doubt in the past, they obviate it. They say, you know, maybe, you know, I doubted thee, but you came through for me anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, and you made me look silly for doubting you. That kind of an attitude. So, and you never see in there anywhere of the request being made and followed by, if it's your will. You know how so many people will make a request to God? Well, if it's God's will, then maybe I'll have this. You see always in the book of Psalms, you see David pouring his heart out to God in the midst of great opposition, and him just giving it to God, just saying, you take care of these people that are my enemies. You take care of them. You make them see who you are and who I am. You take care of it. You know, it's never an attitude of, well, I must be going through this for a reason. You know, ever. You'd never see that. And this is Old Testament Psalms. You know, this is before we have the grace of God through Christ. So anyway, it says in Psalm 30, verse 1, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast what? You healed me. Yeah. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave, thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. You know, that's why we can praise God. That's why we can be thankful, because we remember His holiness. You know, He is holy. He is exempt from all darkness. He is light. In Him is no darkness at all. And when we look to Him and trust Him completely, we see His holiness. We see His justness, His righteousness, as He just opens it up to us and provides for us. And then verse 5 says, and again, it's in, you know, in the confines of Old Testament law, it says, verse 5, for His anger endures but for a moment. Just a moment. In His favor is life. When He favors us, there's great life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. You know, what He expects. Yeah, there's challenges in life. Sometimes we're finding ourselves in a dark place, but it's only briefly. Because in the morning, there's great joy. There's great joy. Tomorrow's a new day. And in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. You know, that's in my prosperity. Right? And then, Lord, verse 7, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. You know, it's like I couldn't see you for a moment, and I was troubled. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. I didn't go and moan and complain to everybody else around me. I went to you, and I said, what's going on? I feel like you're gone from me. I made my supplication. And he says, verse 9, what profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? And again, the whole attitude towards God is one of great thanksgiving, one of great praise to God, and in obviating his frailties as a man, saying, you know, I didn't see you, so now I'm seeing my enemies around me, putting pressure on me. Things are putting pressure on me. So if I fail and if I die, what profit is that to you? Where is the profit? You know, I cried unto you and you healed me. You've healed me once. Now I find myself in another situation where I need you. And now I'm, you know, close to death. What profit is there in my blood? Here, verse, you know, shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? No, but I'm willing to. You deliver me, I'm willing to declare you and praise you. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. You help me. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. You know, I was grieving, but now I have reason to dance. It's party time. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. Sackcloth, it represents that custom where when they were really grieving and they were really upset with how things were going, they took off their comfortable clothes and they put on sackcloth, like burlap. And they sat in ashes to show that they were, you know, just not happy. Not happy with things, with the way things were. And then when they saw their deliverance, then they got up and moved. You know, it's kind of like when, it's what Job did. And so many. That was their custom. All right? But you hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise unto thee and not be silent. You know, I don't want to be silent. I want to proclaim you. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. You know, because of the things that God has done for us, we can be thankful. You know, and I look at that and I see the same heart among us. You know, that things get the way we don't want them sometimes, but if we continue to trust God, He always brings us out of it. He always brings us out of it. Because it's not His will for us to be in it. It's His will for us to be happy, to be blessed, to have what we need. You know? And, you know, again, you read through the Psalms and you don't see that attitude of, oh, I must be going through this for a reason. You don't see any of that cockamamie traditional baloney. You only see the pure heart of God's servant saying to Him, you've made the promises. Now I expect you to fulfill them. And when you do, I will praise you just like I'm praising you now for the things you have done for me. God always sees us through. So we continue reading Psalm 31. This is a great psalm too. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. You know, it's God who we trust. You know, we don't trust people. We don't trust money, jobs, anything. We trust God. Let me never be ashamed. Look, God, I'm trusting you. Don't let me be ashamed of that. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Isn't that a great attitude? That's an attitude of, you know, complete boldness and frankness. You know, we can speak boldly, frankly before God. Let me be honest with you, God. I trust you. Now don't let me be ashamed. I mean, that's a pretty cool attitude to have, I think. This is written by revelation, you know. Now verse 2, bow down thine ear to me, deliver me speedily, quickly. Be thou my strong rock for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. These are demands. These are requests, not done with doubt. You know, humbleness, yes. But look at the attitude. We have a humility in our hearts before God, but we can still expect Him. We can still speak to Him as a child with his father and expect Him to back up what He said and promised to us. You know, you're my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, you lead me, you guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Sound familiar? Yes. Jesus Christ quoted that psalm. Into thy hand I commit my spirit. Into my life. You know, this is something that we do not just, you know, at the end of our life like Jesus Christ did. You know, I have committed my life to you. And that's what we all do. When we commit our life unto God, when we put our life in His hands, then there's great blessing. There's always great blessing. Verse 6, and there's great blessing because He is the Lord God of truth. He does not lie, right? That's what the verse 5 says. Verse 6, I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. You know, I don't put up with lies. I put my trust in you because you are the Lord God of truth. What God speaks is true. What God has promised is true. What God says of us is true. We are His children. Now we are the sons of God, right? That's the truth. That's what we trust in. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, verse 7, for thou hast considered my trouble. You've considered the trouble that it is to be human and to live in this world. Thou hast known my soul in adversities. Thou hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. You know, I'm not confined. You know, I have plenty of room to move. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Now I find myself in trouble. So have mercy. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. I'm not happy with how much opposition there is sometimes. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. My strength fails because of my iniquity, my wrongdoing, my shortcomings, and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance that they did see me without fled from me. They that did see me without fled from me. You know, I had no friends. Everybody ran away. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. He was at a low point. Very low. For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side while they took counsel together against me. They devised to take away my life. I haven't found myself in that kind of situation. That's a pretty low point. Yeah. But when you're that low, what did he say? He did. But verse 14, I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, you're my God. That's what I said. You are my God. You are my Elohim. You know, you're the one that I trust. You're the one that I just bow down before. My times are in thy hand. I'm completely relinquishing it to you. Right? Into thy hand, right? I give my spirit, my life. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies. Oh, would you please deliver me? If you see that it's good enough for me, would you please? No. deliver me. And from them that persecute me, make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for your mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed. There it is again. O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed. Let the unbeliever be ashamed, but not me. And let them be silent in the grave. Don't let me be silent in the grave. Let them that don't trust you, that don't believe you, that don't have you as their God, that have not committed themselves to you, right? Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Then after he's done with that, oh, how great, verse 19, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee. Because see, again, this is a psalm, and he's showing, you know, how God works with men who trust him. God will always work with those who trust him and with their whole heart, you know, and give their life to God. Says, God, I give you my life. You know, I trust you. You're my God. You're the creator. You're the one that's made covenants with me. You're Jehovah. So here, you do it. You do what you said you're going to do. You said you would exalt me. You said you would save me. You said you would make me whole. You said you would heal me. You said you would do all these wonderful things for me. So now I'm going to you and I'm completely giving it to you, and I trust that you will do it. And I won't be ashamed when I give my life to you. I will have great reason to be thankful. And he knew that. He knew that from experience. That the reason he was going through the hardships was not because God wanted him to, but because he had an enemy. He has an adversary, just like we have an adversary. And the adversary, the devil, will work in people to continually put pressure on God's people. That's how the adversary works. That's what the Word of God says. But as we trust God, we know that it's not God's desire for us to live below his standards, below the level of blessing that he wants us to live at. And we have that attitude. Okay, God, you said it. Now you deliver me. You make my way straight. You guide me. You lead me in a way that I can understand. I want to hear you. And as he did that, he saw God come through for him time after time after time. And that's why he comes to this point in verse 19. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, that respect thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. You know, that there's no, you know, this, you know, faith is not an undergarment. It's not what you wear underneath your clothing. Faith is what everyone can see. You know, that's what the book of James is all about, too. You know, let me see your faith, you know. Faith without works is dead. I read through it one time and I said, you know, faith is not underwear. Faith is what we wear on the outside. People should see it. You know, underwear, you don't want anybody to see your underwear. Right? And that's how most people live. Their faith is their undergarment. It's not what they're clothed with. Right? And God says he's clothed us with power. We should let people see that. Let people see it. And before the sons of men, they should all see. They should all see. Blessed, verse 20. I'm sorry, we got to read 20. Thou shalt hide them, those that trust thee, those that fear thee, thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. You know, we'll be hid from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them securely in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. And what was he saying? They've devised things against me because of their pride. They have spoken lies about me. You know, but God protects you from all of that stuff. God will protect you from all of it. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath shown me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, this is what I said when I was hasty, I'm cut off from before thine eyes. I found myself saying that. You know, that's what David said. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplication when I cried unto thee. See, God always hears. God's always there listening. He knows our heart. It says, you know, that He is the searcher of all hearts. And He knows what's in the heart of men. He knows what's in your heart. And when you're going through those same things, He hears you. And it's when you completely turn your heart to Him and completely trust in Him that you begin to see His care. Not before, but as you do. That's the lesson of Psalms. Yeah, it is. It's really huge. I am cut off. I said that a little hasty. I was a little hasty when I said that, I understand. But nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. Oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints. For the Lord preserves the faithful and plentifully rewards the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. And a great, those are great, those two psalms are really, really a great pair of psalms. Because, you know, they indicate so much, they show so much of what our heart can be toward God as we remember the things that He has done and stay thankful and keep our anticipation where it should be when we go to God. Sometimes we go to God and we don't expect much. That's wrong. Whenever we go to God, we should expect great things. We should expect Him to do what He's promised He'll do. So that we are not ashamed when we say, we're sons of the Most High God. We follow the true God and His Son, Jesus Christ. He will make us that we are not ashamed in that. He will make us known as we completely trust Him. Because in making us known as His sons and daughters, He is making Himself known. So we can expect that. We can expect it in every category of our life. Thankful for that. I'm very thankful for that. So be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart because you hope and trust in the Lord. Right? So, Father, thanks for your blessings. Thanks for the way you continue to encourage us. Thank you for your word that declares you so wonderfully and declares how we can come before you with great boldness, with great anticipation. We're thankful, Father, for all the things that we have brought to you that we can be confident knowing that you're working on our behalf and that you will do great things for us in bringing those requests that we've made known to you to pass. Thanks, Father, in that powerful name of Jesus Christ.